Our Father, who art in heaven, how wonderful that we can call upon your name with the assurance that our Savior, Jesus Christ, you will hear our prayer. We confess our sins to you, and you pardon us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, you give us eternal salvation. How then do we humble beings come to you? We come to you in praise, in thankfulness, and in the assurance that you hear our prayers. We thank you for the many blessings you richly give to us, your mighty wonders you set before us. We thank you for the seasons, for the warmth of the summer we might still enjoy, while the signs of autumn arrive. You remind us to pay attention to the praises of creation singing all around us, and we ask you to forgive us for our misuse and instill in us the desire to protect the earth, the sky, and the sea. We also pray for those who have suffered through recent tornadoes, hurricanes, typhoons, and floods. Comfort those who mourn and give courage to those who fear the future. We thank you that we live in a country in which we may gather publicly to worship you, to fellowship on a Sunday morning or at a Saturday community barbecue. It is a freedom that we have while many other Christians around the world do not have without risking their lives. We pray for their safety. Keep their faith strong, and may they too one day have the opportunity to be able to openly and freely serve you. You have given us so much in such abundance: food, shelter, livelihoods. Teach us to be thankful. We remember all those who are caught in the middle of war and political tensions. Merciful Father, grant peace to those afflicted. Bless the work of aid organizations and the men and women who risk their lives to provide help. We pray for all nations and governments in Toronto, in Ontario, in Canada, and around the world. We pray that the political will is to provide good and just leadership. Help every one of us to discern what is right and promote justice and peace. However we are called, help us to make a difference for those who suffer. In the upcoming municipal election, guide us through the political talk and encourage us to support what is right. Help us to ask the right questions. Lord, we thank you for this, our congregation, and the fellowship we have. We thank you for blessing us with dedicated staff. We pray that you will continue to bless them and that they will continue to be an inspiration. We pray for our council and the committees and teams that provide leadership to this congregation. We pray for the pastor search team. It is a long process and not an easy job, so we ask that you will bless their efforts and that in time the right candidate will be found. May we prayerfully uphold all those who give of their time in the work of your church. Give us all uplifted spirits and joy in serving you. Continue to bless us as we meet our neighbors. May we always listen to you and be attentive to the doors that you open. We pray for our neighbors, our neighboring churches and organizations, for hospitals and healthcare professionals, for schools and teachers. Give them wisdom, energy, and calm in the daily trials of their work. And dear Lord, bind us together and make us strong in love and care. You know each one of us here this morning, those who are feeling the weight of personal trials, physical limitations, ill health, grief, loneliness, despair, sadness, hurt, temptation. You know each frustration and each fear. We thank you for William, that his health is just getting better. Lord, we ask that we will all continue to pray for this little guy who's become a little important person in our lives. Lord, we pray for Homer, and we pray for Coley Cruz, Hank Kuntz, and Lynn Reinsberger. We pray for healing, courage, strength, and peace. Remember us Remind us of the hope we have in Christ. We pray for all our children, the enjoyment of laughter and fun, the tears and fears and challenges of growing up and finding their way through the maze of our society. We pray that through your Spirit they will sense your presence and will search for you to guide them. We are all as children in our journey through life. Lead us to be Christ-like examples. In the knowledge of the grace from our God, our Father, we lay our prayers before you. Work in us and through us with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me. Before we turn to the scripture, let's pray for God's illumination. Lord God, thank you for your word, which gives us life. We pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to hear it, believe it, and act on it. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. Our reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. And in your pew Bibles, that's found on page 961. This is toward the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and these are Jesus' words. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Amen. And I didn't intend to read that last verse, and I won't be speaking on it, but it's a good verse, nonetheless. A few weeks ago, the people across the street from us, there was a move-out in that house. This is a house that has two flats, a bottom flat and a top flat. And it was the people in the top flat who were moving out. And they chose to do it over the course of a day with friends who had cars and one covered trailer that they were putting things in and loading out. At the end of the night, about 10 o'clock, the last of their possessions was loaded into the trailer, and they were about to leave. But there was a slight problem. Because they were using the driveway for the trailer, the people who lived in the other flat had parked on the street, and they were blocking the driveway. So I was going to bed that night, and I could hear the goings-on and the confusion outside the window. I could hear a sense of urgency as the people who'd been moving stuff all day and were ready with their last load began knocking on the door to the upper flat. So I guess it's people in the bottom flat that were moving. So they were knocking on the door to both flats, and they started yelling after a while. They started yelling, like voice one would say, "Come on down! Come on down, we know you're up there." And voice two would say, "What if they're not there?" "They are there, I know they're there. Come on down, we know you're there. Get down." And it escalated. And I'm sure I wasn't the only one in the neighborhood that was disturbed by this noise. It was really plain rude and not very acceptable in our neighborhood. It was kind of disrespectful, I'd say. Now, fortunately, the whole thing was solved. When the upper flat people, who had been walking their dog, came around the corner and were easily able to move their car. Now, it's the rudeness of the event that I'm mentioning this for and I want to draw our attention to. On that evening, all that persistent asking and seeking and knocking was over the top, and it was rude. And we don't like rudeness. We don't like disruption. And so I'm suggesting, as we begin looking at Jesus' teaching today, that we might actually, without realizing it, without meaning to, we might resist this teaching that encourages us to persistently ask and to seek and to knock. Going back to the 4th century, an ancient church father and the Archbishop of Constantinople named John Chrysostom, he wrote this: "Among human beings, importune asking, seeking, and knocking are considered rude, troublesome, and disgusting. But with God, not to come asking eagerly is displeasing." Isn't that surprising to think that way back then there was this same attitude among us when people asked loudly for something they needed? Here's another quote. This one is from the tradition of the rabbis. "A man is annoyed by being worried by the requests of his friends. But with God, all the time a man puts his needs and requests before him, God loves him all the more." So let's look at today's text and allow ourselves to hear the boldness that God may be asking of us. Jesus is teaching the crowd who's following him to ask and to seek and to knock. Everyone who asks receives, he promises them. And everyone who seeks finds, he promises them. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. We have to imagine that the people hearing this teaching needed to hear it, or Jesus wouldn't be teaching it. So perhaps they hadn't been doing this in their lives, and that's why they needed to be reminded. Or perhaps they just didn't know that they could turn to God as a father, as a friend, and in asking, they would receive. In seeking, they would find. And in knocking, doors would open. It's really a beautiful and encouraging text. And yet, I think some of us who've heard this text over the years find this teaching raises a lot of questions. Does God answer all our prayers? Some of us have experienced unanswered prayer. So what's with that? If God knows what we need, why do we pray at all? Isn't it selfish to pray for our own needs? Does the great Lord of the universe and even beyond really care about my needs? Does God change the course of history because of my prayers? So these are just a few, and there are too many questions for me to begin addressing all in this sermon. Perhaps you might ask each other some of these questions and begin a conversation, because there's a lot of accumulated wisdom among this group, I know. But there are a few quick answers or responses, not answers, to some of these questions that I'd like to explore. First of all, it's not selfish to pray for your own needs. God desires that we come to him with our needs. The Psalms, the prayer book of the ancient Israelites, are full of tears and sighs and requests made to God for help. And the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus has just given the people in the Sermon on the Mount, contains petitions. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. And yet we don't want to appear selfish, especially before God. But we forget that that's the nature of our relationship with God. God is the giver, and we are the receivers from a generous God. So ask. Ask, and it will be given you. Another question. If God knows what we need, why pray at all? Biblical scholar Scott McKnight, in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, writes about gifts. And he says, some gifts are surprises, but other gifts come as a result of asking. That's true with friends as well as with God, isn't it? Those who love others often ask one another for things. So also God beckons us to ask. Sure, God knows, but God also wants to interact so that out of our love for God, we petition God. There is an interaction with God when we pray for the things we need that deepens our relationship with God, our connection to God, and increases our need and our love of God. And an even more difficult question. It seems that some of our most urgent prayers go unanswered. My friend Heidi DeYoung has a best friend whose young daughter was diagnosed with a rare brain disease. The word went out to friends and to family and even further than that. And through social media, many people became aware of this courageous 7-year-old girl who was fighting DIPG. Thousands prayed for healing. But within 7.5 months, little Avery was dead. Now, why did this happen? Why didn't God answer and save the life of a child? I imagine that many of you have experienced unanswered prayer, prayer that you desperately wanted answered. I'm not sure we can ever find an adequate reason as to why God does not seem to answer prayer. Scott McKnight lists some typical reasons for unanswered prayer that people give, but he says that they don't quite do it for him. And you've likely heard many of these reasons for unanswered prayer. God does answer our prayers, but not the way we expect. That's one thing people say. We are to keep on praying. That's another. Our requests may not be part of God's will. Our motives are impure. We need to learn to adjust our wills to God's will. We may really not want what we're asking. God does answer, but there are three kinds of answers: yes, no, or wait a little longer. Yes, I'm going to take a little drink. I'm sure you've heard those reasons given for unanswered prayers. And maybe like Scott McKnight, you find them a bit wanting. Some of these explanations for unanswered prayer can be downright hurtful. And yet some of them do seem to answer, partly, our question about why God doesn't seem to answer our prayers. But as Scott McKnight exclaims, none of these really get to the heart of that heartfelt yearning for God to act. And so for McKnight, he does the only thing he can do. He focuses on who God is. And he continues to lay his petitions before that God in faith, in trust, and in hope. Some of us wonder if God really does hear and answer our prayers. Does the God of the universe, the God of creation, care about our needs and the needs of our little planet? And does God change the course of history in order to answer our prayers? If you look at the broad sweep of the way prayer does its work in the Bible, think for a moment about Jonah and about the city of Nineveh, where the whole city repented of wrongdoing and prayed to God to not destroy them. And God relented and did not follow through on his plan to destroy the city. Remember that story? Yes, God does make changes based on the prayers and the actions of people. I like the way McKnight states it. He says, the Bible teaches us that God, in his sovereignty, has established a kind of contingency, what we might call a backup plan. God has established a contingency in the universe. And God genuinely interacts with humans who pray in such a way that the universe changes as a result of prayer. That's a big God we're talking about. A big and a gracious God. And Jesus is teaching us that God does answer our prayers, even if it doesn't seem that he does. Jesus is telling us to pray wholeheartedly, to ask, to seek, to knock. And why should we do this? Why can we trust God with our prayers? Because God is good. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. And God, in his goodness, desires good things for us. There will be times when this seems so far from being true in our lives. But it is true. God's goodness is what grounds us in life. In our passage today, Jesus talks about fathers and sons. And he refers to the love that most parents have for their children by saying, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Bread and stones have a similar shape, remember, but most of us will not confuse them. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. Many fish from the Sea of Galilee were kind of long, eely things, but you wouldn't confuse a fish with a snake, especially not with respect to your children. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts for those who ask? Parents want good things for their children. It's instinctive. God, our heavenly Father, wants good things for his children. All of us, even more than human parents. God is the original parent, you know, and we are made in his image. So when we see kind actions between a parent and child on earth, that gives us a little window into seeing what God is like. If we reflect God and we are good in any way, know that God is even gooder. Something to remember. And that's why and how we pray. God creates, ordains, sustains, listens, adjusts, disciplines, elects, protects, guides, ransoms, saves, reconciles, and God's love knows no bounds. This is the God we pray to when we ask and seek and knock. So we pray to God in full confidence that his love will sustain us and that he will give us good gifts. Now let me make another suggestion of a way to receive this teaching of Jesus. Perhaps this bold asking, seeking, knocking is not just about how we pray, but also about how we live. Not just about how we pray, but how we live. I think that many of us are timid in prayer and also timid in life. And I say this for myself as well as for you. And I have to keep reminding myself that the grace of God allows us to live actively and boldly. There is nothing to lose if God has your back. Listen to these verbs. Listen to how active they are. Ask, seek, knock. There's a real action to these verbs. You know, I think we're often timid in life because we fear getting it wrong. Or we fear that we will disrupt things. Or we fear we'll draw attention to ourselves. Yes, we'll make mistakes. But we'll learn and we'll grow in God's ways. But not if we don't get out there and live, truly live. Ask God for what you want and tell him your heart's desire. Seek his ways, seek his kingdom, that it come to its fullness during our lifetime. And knock. Knock on the door that seems to separate you from God. Knock till he hears you. And then go and knock on other doors. Knock on the doors of government who are not hearing about the concerns of the poor. And knock on your neighbor's door. Invite them over. Or go ask them for help when you need it. And today, in the booklet called Today from last month, I read of a woman who had all the ingredients for a recipe except for an egg. So she went to her neighbor's door, a neighbor who had just moved in and whom she didn't know, and she asked if she could borrow an egg. And hey, it was the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Being a Christian does not mean that you have all the answers or all the ingredients. Sometimes it means you actively get out there and you ask and you seek and you knock. I know this passage, Matthew 7, 7 to 11, is traditionally understood as asking in prayer, asking God for what you need. And it is about that. But I think, too, that we can ask, seek, and knock actively as a way of living. Living before God, living with God in the world. We can continue to ask God for what we need and seek his presence in prayer. And we can keep knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. But we can also walk with God at our side out in this world as we actively ask and seek and knock. I hear this passage as a call to boldness and a call to trust. Especially it's a call to trust. Trust the good God who gave you life and who promises to answer all your prayers and who promises to give you all the good gifts you need for the journey. Amen. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you that you've given us life and you've given us your Spirit to guide us. May we move forward trusting in that. May we not be afraid. May we ask to find out. May we seek your kingdom. And may we knock on doors that seem closed, because you are alive in this world, you are making your kingdom known, and you've asked us to participate in it. So we thank you.